chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, or the word is shall, walk in them. Now our text begins with this word for, because this verse, verse 10, is putting the finality on what was said before, and it's adding one more thing to what was said before. Now, from the beginning of the epistle, you know that God has been showing us through the Apostle Paul that salvation is entirely by the grace of God, from the beginning to the end. And now he's showing us that every step in between, including our works, are of the grace of God. They're by the grace of God. So that nothing is of our works, God gets all the glory. Not of works. All right, go back up to verse 1. It began there in Ephesians 2, 1, and he gave us a general statement of what our natural born state was. All men, the elect of God particularly, this is what we were. You can take the italics out because they were added by the translators, and you read it. And you who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Then the next two verses elaborate on that, reminding us how we walked in time past and what our conduct was in time past. Verse 2 says, wherein, in death, in trespasses, in sins, in time past you walked according to the course of the world. This is how we walked. That's a very important word because we're fixing to talk about our walk. That's how we walked in time past. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye all had our conversation in time past. That's conduct, that's deportment, including conversation as we know it, but everything about us, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So there we were. We were nothing, going after nothing, ruled by nothing. All right, now here, the next verse, verse 4 begins describing how God interrupts His elect and saves us by grace. And He even interjects that statement into the verse. Look at verse 4. But God, we were going to hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. By grace you're saved. We could go back to chapter 1 and see how many times God says, by grace, by grace, by grace. This is what He wants us to get. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now in verse 7, he declares why God quickened us, why He raised us up, and why He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. He saved us to tell us all about His grace. His grace, how He saved us by His grace. Now, verses 8 and 9 summarizes all that was said up to this point. And it declares why it is that the exceeding riches of God's grace is what He will spend ages showing us. Now look, Ephesians 2, verse 8. Here's why He's going to spend ages showing us the exceeding riches of His grace. For by grace are you saved. That's why. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we get the context. He's declaring the truth that believers are what we are by the grace of God. Now, verse 10 is a very instructive verse because God the Holy Spirit gives an answer to what God knows sinners will say when they hear that salvation is not by our works. And then secondly, God the Holy Spirit, having heard that, God the Holy Spirit answers what He knows we'll say when we hear we're created unto good works. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So lest anybody vainly conclude from that, that since we're not saved by works, then the believer does no good works. Verse 10 says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship. But now, be sure you understand, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then, lest anybody hear that and attempt to boast of their good works, He says of those good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. Sinners are not saved by our works, but every sinner saved by God's grace shall walk in good works, because God has before ordained those works which we shall walk in. Now here's the first thing we see. Believers are not saved by our works. We're God's workmanship, created unto good works. If our salvation in any way was by our works, we would be our own workmanship. If you had a painter and he's painting his masterpiece, and another painter comes in and just adds a little shadowing to it, it ceases to be that artist's workmanship. So that artist has, nobody else can touch it and do anything and have any part in it for it to be his workmanship. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now the Greek word that's translated workmanship here is poime, and it's the word where we get the word poem. We get the word poem from this Greek word. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just a few pages back. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at what the believer is in verse 3. Verse 3 says, you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Christ is the divine author, and we're His poem. We are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, Paul said, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. God's child is God's poem. We're His workmanship. The we, when it says we are His workmanship, the we is not our fleshly man born of Adam. That man's still nothing but sin, and he shall soon return to the dust. In me, Paul said, that is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. That's the case with a believer. God makes a new creation, a totally new creation, a newborn child within the old man of flesh. There's a newborn child. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our new man's not a reformation of our old man. That's not the case. Nothing of our old man of flesh is involved or used of God. And you know, when I talk about our old man of flesh, I'm not talking about this skin right here. I'm talking about our old sinful nature that we got from Adam. God uses nothing of that old man. When Christ is formed within a sinner, that sinner becomes a new man in Christ Jesus. And it's not merely a change from a lower nature to a higher nature. It's going from being apart from Christ to being united to Christ. So we're united to Christ. Now I said to you, this is a creation. And in fact, the only other place that this Greek word is used in the New Testament is in Romans 1 and verse 20. It says, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And that word made is the same word here that is used, translated workmanship. The things that were made, even His eternal power and Godhead is seen by the things that are made. Now, Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens are His handiwork. We can look into the heavens, into the creation, and we can see God's masterpiece in creation, what He created in creation. But that's not His masterpiece. That is nothing. The works of creation are nothing compared to that new man God has created in Christ Jesus in His people. That's God's masterpiece. That's His true handiwork, His creation. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He did it all. Now, this word created in Christ Jesus means to make inhabitable. I have trouble with that. To make it so He can inhabit us. Look in verse 22, Ephesians 2:22. It says, you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what the word it means. Now, can we boast of that? Can we boast of any of this work? There's nothing we can boast of. We were dead. That's all we were. In time past, we walked according to the course of the world, under the power of Satan, according to the lust of our flesh. We were under the dominion of Satan and sin. Somebody gave the illustration, and they said one time Michelangelo was carving a big block of stone, and somebody asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm releasing an angel from this stone. But God didn't use any part of our old stony man. He created an entirely new man. He didn't release an angel that was there. He created a whole new man. A whole new man. What happened? Christ sent His gospel to us. He sent His gospel to us. Paul said, you are the epistle of Christ ministered by us. Now, Paul was just an earthen vessel. And Paul didn't do anything to contribute to the workmanship. No preacher does. God's preacher does nothing but preach the word that Christ gives to preach. Just a vessel, that's all. To pour out the word from God to His people. Who then's Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. The preacher can't even boast in God giving him to a people. The Lord gives His preacher to every man. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We're laborers together with God, Paul said, but you're God's husbandry, you're God's building. He did it. He's done all the work. So through the gospel, Christ came. He came and He bound Satan who ruled our house. And Christ spoiled all His goods, creating His people anew. Can we boast of that work? We were bound. We were bound. We couldn't free ourselves from Satan. He bound him and he spoiled his goods. The Spirit of the living God entered in. And He used nothing of us, but He gave us a new heart, and Christ wrote the gospel on our hearts. And He made us to behold this, what our verse says. He made us to behold we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? We've been seeing it throughout the epistle as we've been going through it. It says, God the Father blessed us with all spiritual blessings according as He chose us in Christ Jesus. And it said, God the Father predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And then it says we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins by God's grace. You see Christ and God in this. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It says God gave us faith to lay hold of Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. And in the end, God shall gather together all of His people in one, even in Christ Jesus. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And that's what He makes us to see. Now, none of the workmanship was by our works. But His grace in creating us in Christ is unto good works. It's unto good works. For the first time, when God works this work in the heart of a sinner, and He brings him to life, and He gives him faith to behold that he's God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, for the first time, that child begins to do truth. He begins to do truth. What's that? Let's look at John 3, verse 21. What is it to do truth? John 3:21. The Lord Jesus said, this is what it is to do truth. He that doeth truth, we created unto good works. This is a good work right here. This is the first one a believer's going to do. He that doeth truth cometh to Christ the light, that his deeds, all his works may be made manifest, that God worked them all. You see that? They're all wrought in God. John 3:21. The result of God's workmanship is that his child walks continually from then on in the works that God has wrought, that God has before ordained for him to walk in. We walk from here on till the end of this life, walking by faith in repentance. That's a continual, never-ending walk for a believer. And listen to this. In Zechariah 12:10, now here's the workmanship. He said, I will pour upon my people. That's God's work. I'll pour upon them the spirit of grace and of supplication. And here's what the good work is. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They're going to believe me for the first time. And they shall mourn for him. They're going to repent. As one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him. Repentance. And one as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn son. You see that he brings us into a living relationship with him to where we start regarding Christ now. We see him by faith and we repent in bitterness, beholding him made sin for us. And we mourn our sin. We mourn what it caused upon him. We mourn what it did for him. Like a person mourns his firstborn son. That's how close we are to Christ when he does this work. Before, we walked according to the course of this world. Now we walk by faith continually, and we never stop repenting. Never stop. Now, I want you to get this as I go through this with you. God doesn't tell us specifically in the Scriptures what the work is. He doesn't just lay out works. If he laid out works and said, these are the good works I'm talking about, if he just laid them out, we would take on a form of religion and check them all off and say, well, I'm doing a good job. He doesn't do that. There's more to it than that. What God shows us is what constitutes a good work. You notice it's called a good work. God shows us what makes the work good. He shows us where the goodness is in the work. For an example, for any work to be good, it must be done in faith with Christ as its object. You could have two people, they could do the exact same work, but underneath the work, in the heart, one of them's doing it unto the Lord with the Lord as his object in faith. That's the goodness of the work. The other one's just doing a work, but God does not regard it as good. It doesn't matter how nice the work is and how much somebody's benefited from it, God doesn't consider it good at all. It's not done in faith. Walk in the step, he says, walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. He didn't have the law. He was under no kind of covenant whatsoever. He had not the Ten Commandments, and yet he walked in this faith and he did good works. He did good works. Any work that's done has got to be done in faith. Now that eliminates most of what men call good works, doesn't it? That eliminates the majority of what people in this world are calling good works. It may be a good work in itself, but not before God. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Alright? God creates us to walk in love and to work by love. Now listen, 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another. That's the work. Let us love one another. For love is of God. It's of his workmanship. And everyone that loveth, there's the work. Everyone that loveth, he does it because here's the workmanship. He's been born of God. He's been born of God and knoweth God. And in verse 19, he says, we love him because He first loved us. We love Him. That's the work. But we do it because here's the goodness of the work. He first loved us. That's the workmanship of it. But you see now, a man could be a generous giver. There's a work. A man could be a giver. He could be a giver. A generous giver. But except it be done in faith, constrained by the love of Christ. It's not a good work with God. Listen to Paul. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now men would look on that in churches. That fellow's going to have him a parking spot with his name on it. But God says through Paul, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You see, the goodness of the work is the love, which is the workmanship of God, and He's created us unto the work. You follow me? In Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It's not the work itself that God's looking at, but faith which worketh by love. God's looking at the heart. At the heart. From then on, we walk in submission, worshiping God. Jeremiah 32:39, He said, I will give them one heart and one way. That's the workmanship. Created God's workmanship. He said, I'll give them one heart. Created in Christ Jesus. I'll give them one way. Christ is that way. That, here's the work. They may fear me forever. That's the goodness of the work. They do it in submission, in fear to God. After they cast that blind man out of the synagogue, Christ came to him and found him and revealed himself to him. And that man said, I believe. And he worshiped him. He worshiped him. For we are the circumcision. Now all these men doing these works and saying, hey, we're keeping the law, we're doing this and that, we're under in covenant with God. No, no. Here's what the circumcision is. We worship God in spirit. It's in here. It's in the heart. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's who we're praising and glorifying. And we have no confidence in the flesh at all. Remember Saul? Brother Eric brought this message a few weeks ago. He brought back the best sheep to sacrifice to God. Was that a good work? No, it was not a good work because he wasn't in submission to God. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Is God just want you to do works as he does in obeying the voice of the Lord? God looks on the heart. He's looking at that submission, that faith, that love, that worship that's in the heart that he put there. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obeying is better than a work. You got to have the good of the work, or it's not a good work. It's just a work. And to hearken than the fat of rams, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Men preaching works and telling men to do works, but they're not telling men these things I'm telling you now. And God says, you're practicing witchcraft. That's witchcraft. You're teaching men to work witchcraft. The sacrifices of God, the work of God, is a broken spirit, submission, and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. There'll be a work goes with it. We fix to see that. There'll be a work goes with it. But it's got to have this first. This is the workmanship first. And then by God's grace, we persevere. This is a work He creates us unto. I'm telling you what the principles of these good works are. Now get this now. He said, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. There's the workmanship of God. That. Now here's the result of it. Here's the good work He created us unto. They shall not depart from me. Now listen to this. A man can do what appears to be a wonderful work. He's doing his many wonderful works. And yet, in his heart, he's drawn away from Christ. He's drawn back. He started looking at his works now. He's not persevered in faith anymore. Or he's joined in with will worshipers. And he's He's doing a bunch of good works. Looks like it, but his heart's far removed from God. Paul said, God's not unrighteous to forget your works and your labor of love, which you've showed toward His name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. That's a good work. You minister to the saints and you do minister. But here's what it makes it a good work. Not just a work, but a good work. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Unto the end. You see, your heart's set on God. You haven't grown impatient and said, well, I don't feel like God's given me any kind of reward for what I'm doing. I'm going to go back over here where they'll at least pat me on the back, praise me, and put my star up on a board so everybody can see it. That's not persevering. You've thrown back to works, to law. He says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, endurance, perseverance, inherit the promises. You see what he's saying? Do the work, by all means, but do it persevering in faith, or it's in vain. You've thrown back. God makes us walk in good works. Our walk is altogether anew because it's from a new heart. We got a new master. We got new methods. We got a new motive. We got a new message. Everything's new. We walk in newness of spirit. We walk in newness of life. Henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. All these things, he saw. Our walk, he's talking about a walk that's inward, outward. You see what I'm saying? Walk in love. That's inward. As Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in the light as he's in the light. And we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You see what I'm saying? It's a spiritual thing. Inward, inward. There's some outward thing. Now let's look at these works here. I'm out of time. Yeah, and I don't have enough really to take it over to the second hour. Let's look at them real quick. Go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. Every believer shall walk in the good works because God has before ordained the works which we shall walk in. It says, these good works that He created us unto, God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. All right? Now you remember in the tabernacle, in the tabernacle, God gave Moses the pattern for all the work that God before ordained to be done. The work he before ordained to be done. God told Moses, now go tell the people, this is the work I will have done. Alright? So, God ordained all the children of Israel that they were going to offer the materials needed to build that tabernacle and all the furniture in it. That was a work God ordained before to be done. So before he could do anything, to get them to do anything, he had to give them the substance. He had to give them the materials. And so Exodus 3:21, here's how God did that. God said, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. Whatever woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. And so God loaded them up with all kind of gold and silver and bracelets and all kinds of things. Go to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. But not only did God provide the materials necessary, God also gave a willing heart to the people to offer those materials because God before ordained they would. Look at Exodus 35 and 21. We're just talking about the work now. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. Now, how is our spirit made willing? They shall be willing in the day of my power, God said. God makes us willing. And he says, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. They brought those things God provided, put in their hands. Verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. So God before ordained for them to do this work. So God provided all the substance they needed, and God gave them the heart to do the work. You see, God created them unto this. All right, now, furthermore, God ordained somebody to do the work of taking those materials and making the curtains and the gold and the brass things that would go into the furniture. All right, go down to Exodus 35:25. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. They were what? They were wise-hearted. Where'd they get that wise heart? Let's go on and read and see. Verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Eliab, the son of Amak, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer. See those women that were embroidering? This is where they learned how to do this, in blue, and in purple, and in scarlet, and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Chapter 36, verse 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Eliab, every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all the manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called him, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, every one whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it, because God stirred them up, and they received of Moses the offering, and then they that they brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it. And verse 32 says, and thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. Chapter 39, verse 32. So it was all finished. The children of Israel did according to all the Lord commanded Moses, so they did. So let me give you a verse in the New Testament that sums all that up. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you have always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So you see, they're not works specifically laid out in Scripture where God says, now it's up to you to do these things. It's not that. It's not. He didn't ordain some works and say, now these are all the works, now you go to them and do them. No, no. He didn't, and they're not works which men look at and by their natural judgment say those are good works. These are not works you set out to do to be seen of men so everyone around you will think you love God. That's self-righteousness. And the man who does that has his reward. He gets a pat on the back and that's it. Self-righteous folks will say in the day of judgment, when did we not do these works? But the believers say, when did we do them? When did we do them? We just did what we could. Why? Because these are works of everyday life for a believer. These are works God's prepared for you for each day, which when you come to the work, you shall do them, not even giving a second thought to them being good works, because they're works of faith, labors of love, done with submissive hearts to God, as unto the Lord, as you persevere in faith. And you don't have to worry, and you don't have to second guess yourself. When the ordained time comes, God will have equipped us for everything necessary to do the work and stir up your heart to do it, and you'll do what you can. Remember that woman that broke that alabaster box of ointment? Christ said she did what she could. She did what she could. God gave her the heart. God gave her the substance. God gave her the opportunity. God brought her to the place, and she did it. She did what she could. These are works of a new creature God created, performed by us by God's grace, all of which was in God's mind and all ordained before we were ever born. And therefore, there's not one possibility that one believer shall not walk in the works God has before ordained. We all shall. We shall do every one of them. And so therefore, we can't boast in our good works. That's the point. Paul says, for we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but don't start boasting about them, because God before ordained that we should do them too. Amen.